And welcome back to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there for listening. Make sure you go to SeanGreenShow.com. Yes, that is SeanGreenShow.com. All the latest news, interviews, podcasts, they're all definitely up at SeanGreenShow.com. You can also find me on WGNPlus.com. That's WGNPlus.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Sean Green Show. And if you want to stalk me on Facebook, it's Sean Green Show Media. And we also have a YouTube page. All the good stuff there. SeanGreenShow.com. Make sure you go there. Another week is Among Us. And on the Super Celebrity Hotline right now, we have Ray Carcillo. He's the review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMNow.com. And definitely we want to talk to him about a few things, especially some things that's going on in our area here in Chicago. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
How much fun? How you doing, dude?
Hey, I'm doing all right. So, first of all right, I got to bring this up. All right, and this is in the Chicago Tribune. Chicago area gamers that are looking to take their Nintendo skills to the next level now have a chance to qualify in Schaumburg for the Nintendo World Championships next month in L.A. Now, I thought the whole Nintendo World Championships were over. What's the deal with that?
The Nintendo World Championships, what they're doing is actually, it's a throwback to what they did, a special tournament they held 25 years ago that was kind of also inspired by the movie The Wizard. And basically, they're trying to get people amped up for E3 because Nintendo doesn't do press conferences anymore. They don't really do, they just kind of do another Nintendo Direct. They're bringing back the World Championships, celebrating the 25th anniversary. Now, the World Championships, as you know, 25 years ago, basically players had to play three classic Nintendo games, Mario Brothers, Tetris, and you had to get high scores, the highest score you could possibly get in three games in 6 minutes, so 2 minutes per game. And they did it in three age groups, 11 and under, 12 to 17, and 18 and older. And so what they're doing is they're bringing it back. It's not nearly as big as it was 25 years ago, but it's an interesting way for people to kind of, for Nintendo to kind of remind people, hey, we've been around for so long, you know, we've had these great games, we're doing this awesome tournament, and it's a classic, it's a throwback, so basically they're testing people in, because they obviously a lot of people don't have NESs anymore, they're testing people in the Ultimate NES Remix for the 3DS.
Wow, and then one thing that I definitely want to let people know in my area, in the Chicagoland area, that there are 750 slots available. And it's on a first-come, first-served basis, and the square-off is May 30th. So you only have a couple of days here, and it's at the Best Buy, 900 East Golf Road in Schaumburg. And you guys have to get there because it's definitely first-come, first-served. And one thing that I definitely want to know is when they brought this back, is this because Nintendo is, in a sense, like going down the drain, or is this something that people demanded to have back?
No, this is actually Nintendo just reported that it's been their first fiscal profit year in 4 years. So Nintendo's actually back in the black. They're actually bouncing back. This is, I think, just the way, because, you know, right now our game culture is driven a lot on nostalgia. I think that this is just the way, being the 25th anniversary. You know, I know a lot of older gamers got really excited when they heard about this because it's been so long, and it's something from our childhood. You know, now it's 5 when the Nintendo World Championship originally happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can actually compete now, maybe. You know, obviously I'm in a very different bracket than I was back then. But, you know, the idea that it's just a kind of a celebration of what Nintendo's done over the past 25 years. And it's also a way to promote games like Ultimate NES Remix for the 3DS because, you know, which again is a celebration of Nintendo's history and a celebration of Nintendo's great franchises. So I don't think Nintendo's going down the drain. I think this is just a way for them to capitalize on the nostalgia that's going on out there. And because especially when you think of old video games, you think of a lot of Nintendo's great franchises first and foremost.
Yeah, yeah. And do you think this would be like a one-time deal and they're just testing the waters to see how big this will be? Because I'm guessing here this is a partnership with Best Buy. So if they do good this year, do you see this being a yearly event? And if so, would they implement like later Nintendo titles into the Nintendo World Championships.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely a partnership with Best Buy, so I imagine that if it does, I mean, I wonder how well it'll do for Best Buy as well as how well it'll do for Nintendo. But, I mean, I don't think, it's been 25 years since they've done one, so I don't really expect this to be a yearly thing. But if it does get the kind of buzz and it does take off and it goes viral, and I'm sure there's going to be, I'm sure they're going to be streaming the competition, the finals in L.A., and they're going to be streaming, all the championship round. That if it does take off, I could see them, especially with esports being as big as they are. I could see this becoming a bigger thing for Nintendo, and then they could start to bring back. And then yeah, obviously if you do bring it back, then you're gonna probably want titles like Splatoon. You're gonna want other multiplayer driven games on Nintendo system, probably to supplant the NES Remix and these older games. But I mean, that's something that they would have to see how this does first and foremost.
All right, great. Let's talk about a few games that are coming out now. Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Ubisoft released the trailer for Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Tell me more about this title.
So Assassin's Creed Syndicate takes place in Victoria-era England. And basically, this is Ubisoft trying to get back to the return to form. We all know how bad Unity was last year with all the glitches, and they even admitted it. They even came out and said, our game was the face of, glitchy games last fall. So what they've done is they've scrapped multiplayer, they've scrapped co-op. It's a completely single-player experience with two protagonists. You play as a twin brother and sister, Jacob and Evie Fry. And basically, you're in Victoria-era England, and it's kind of got to feel like a Gangs of New York feel to it, because your job is to basically build up a street gang that you're actually kind of going to make assassins to take the fight to the Brotherhood in 19th century England.
Oh, wow. And one last question about Assassin's Creed. Do you think they'll ever create one in the modern era? Because I always was curious about, are they ever going to make one that's up to our times?
They keep getting closer and closer to our era. They slowly but surely, now you're in the Industrial Revolution, you're going to have trains, and you're going to have horse-drawn carriages, you're going to have, steam engine. So I wouldn't be surprised if one day, maybe the final game in the series we have in the modern era, but I think it's a ways off. I think there's still a lot more historical time periods that they want to explore thoroughly before they end the series. But supposedly there is going to be an end to the series. They said they do have an end plan, but they're nowhere near it yet. And I think that until we get close to that point, we're not going to see a modern-day Assassin's Creed for a while.
Okay, great. And now let's move on to a title that I'm not too familiar with, but I had to ask you anyway because one of my buddies, he keeps telling me, hey, you should check this out. It's The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. What is this game, and why should I be excited about this game?
Okay, so I admit that I didn't play the first two Witchers. The first Witcher was a PC-only title, very, very niche. The second title came out for Xbox 360 as well as PC, kind of started to do a little better. And this third title, well, I mean, I played it, and oh my goodness, I need to go back and play the first two.
Really?
Because, yeah, if you like Dragon Age Inquisition, this might blow Dragon Age Inquisition out of the water in terms of size, in terms of scale, in terms of depth of the side quests. I mean, you think a quest is over, and then the game comes and throws another curveball at you, and you got three more objectives to do.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that it's going to be a time sink. I mean, if you put 100 hours into Dragon Age, you're going to put 200 into Witcher 3.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
The game is absolutely massive. I mean, it's bigger than Skyrim. It's bigger than Dragon Age. It's easily the biggest high fantasy RPG possibly that they've ever done. And, this is one of the guys at CD Projekt Red over in Poland. I mean, they've been working on this game nonstop for 4 years. And if you can tell, I mean, it is just gorgeous. And the creatures and the world, I've never been in such a world Like, I thought Dragon Age Inquisition was impressive, but the world feels so alive and so vibrant. Like, monsters can literally just pop up at any time from anywhere. It never feels safe, but you have to trust in your abilities. As Geralt of Rivia, who's the main character of the series, he is just this amazing sword-wielding, magic-wielding, you know, he's just a badass, you know? Like, I mean, nobody can stop him. He knows every potion, every trick in the book, every spell, and he uses them without abandon, and just lays waste to everything in his path when it comes across him. It's phenomenal.
Oh, wow. So you got me really interested in getting this now. So I think I'm going to go try that out. Now I'm going to hope I don't disappoint you, because I know I'm going to be disappointed when I mention this title is Destiny, the House of Wolves expansion. Now, I told you last time they released an expansion for Destiny, I told you I am totally done with Destiny, but it's my duty to bring it to everybody. It's my duty to bring it to the masses and make sure that everybody's aware that it's out there. So, all right, is it worth getting? It's one of those duh questions, but is it worth getting? And what's the story behind this expansion pack?
So basically, House of Wolves is about, the space beyond. One of the houses that the queen is in control of has kind of gone rogue, and you're going to have to help her kind of rein them in. You're doing a favor for the queen in the hopes that she'll end up helping you out in the future and let you go into space, parts of space that you haven't been before. As basically, it's a kind of a setup for the next expansion for Destiny, whatever that's when it's supposed to come in September. So this is kind of like that in-between chapter that's kind of laying the foundation for that story. But what's interesting is that some of the things they did with the game, they increased the level cap again. They gave me new weapons. They made it easier, though, for you to level up. They made it so that you're not constantly having to switch gear, constantly having to trade out the gear that you want, to get gear that you don't want, to take part in missions to take part in the missions that are part of the expansion. You know, they've done some common sense things, basically, that should have been done at the very beginning of the game. But, they're learning from their mistakes, again, proving kind of the best thing is this kind of growing fluid community. It's one of the shorter expansions. The story missions and the vault raid, you could probably beat the whole thing in probably 2.5 hours, not going to lie.
Oh, wow.
You can blow right through it. But I will say that in terms of story, in terms of narrative, it's probably the most coherent one they've written yet. So if you are actually into the lore, if you've been following Destiny, if you are one of the people who have gotten into Destiny, because it's one of those games that you love it or hate it. If you're one of those games, if you love it, then this is going to probably be the best expansion yet for you, because it fixes a lot of the stuff that should have been fixed earlier or when the game is at once. And also, it actually gives you more story and more depth to the narrative than you've had before. If you haven't been into Destiny, jumping in now, you're going to be lost. Not going to lie. You're going to have to go back basically almost from the beginning, get the past couple of expansions, and kind of catch up. And I don't know if I can actually recommend, like I said, House of Wolves is good, but I don't know if it's good enough to recommend people going back and buying all the stuff. Before it.
Now, I know I can't have you on without talking, getting geeking out with you, because I have nobody else to geek out with. I'm always here by myself in the studio. But all right, so Captain America Civil War is going to be released next year. And they've been, in a sense, leaking out little pictures of who's going to be in it. Now, they have released one photo of Skull and Bones, and for those of my Netflix people, if you go on Netflix and you type in Captain America or even Iron Man, there's a good Marvel cartoon that kind of introduces Skull and Bones if you don't know who that character is. Do you think they'll introduce more characters? And if so, do you know who they will be?
You know, I'm sure. I think they will have more characters. Well, here's the thing, right? I don't know what other characters they're going to introduce in the other couple of Marvel movies that'll happen before then. But I mean, I would expect that it could be a good time to, you know, with Black Panther being delayed, they might bring in Black Panther because they already had Wakanda in the last Avenger, in Avengers 2. They could go to do Claw, you know, do Ulysses Claw, who they had. They had him in Avengers 2, but they could have him be in his I guess, monstrous mutated form that fans of the comic books will be more familiar with. He had a red suit, a sonic arm cannon. He's actually really a great villain. I don't think that the little bit that we got in Avengers 2, I don't think did him enough justice. I think you will see a lot, at least several more characters introduced in Captain America Civil War, because Civil War was such a massive comic book event and took the whole universe, encompassed the whole universe when it happened, that you could definitely very easily see that as a jumping off point for new characters to come into this Marvel movie universe.
Yeah, and one thing I always wonder about Marvel is it seems to have not, at least with the standalone movies, is the Hulk. There are two films that were just standalone Hulk movies, and the first one was horrible. The second one with Edward Norton was actually pretty good. Mark Ruffalo, who plays the Hulk in the Avengers films, is awesome. So I'm trying to figure out how come they just don't do a standalone Hulk film with Mark Ruffalo. It makes all the sense in the world to do, and they won't do it.
I think part of the reason is that the Hulk's gallery of villains isn't as strong as a lot of other heroes. So, I mean, in the first one, you know, with the Ang Lee one, which is not considered canon anymore, they basically said that just forget about that movie, which we all happily do. So when we talk about the Edward Norton one, with, you know, you have the Abomination, and they kind of hint at the leader in that one. But then after that, the Hulk's villains get really, really limited. So I don't know if they're trying to, you know, save possibly more other Hulk characters, because I know they're going to bring back Thunderbolt Ross for Civil War. They mentioned, you know, I mean, you could do Red Hulk. If you do that as a single Hulk movie after the Civil War thing. But, I mean, after Avengers 2, I don't want to give away too many spoilers, but it's been out for like a month now, folks, so if you haven't seen it yet, you really should have. You know, you don't know where the Hulk is right now. You know, so I mean, maybe they could be setting up something for Planet Hulk. You know, like they could be, there's a lot of, or World War Hulk, like there's a lot of things that they could do with the Hulk, and I don't know if they have the confidence after how, especially how poorly the first movie did, though, again, with Don Cannibal, and then how, I guess, mediocre the Edward Norton one was received. I don't know if they have the confidence right now in Hulk carrying a standalone movie by himself.
Okay, great. And last thing about Civil War, apparently there's rumors that Tyler James Williams, and if you don't know who that guy is, he plays in The Walking Dead, and they are rumored to have him play Miles Morales. And if you don't know who Miles Morales is, he is the African-American Spider-Man. It's not Peter Parker. So he is really interested in playing it. And it seems that Marvel is going to shift in that direction of actually having the African-American Spider-Man. Do you think this will kind of tinker with the integrity of Civil War, or you think this may be good?
I think you could very easily insert Miles Morales into the Peter Parker role in Civil War. I think it might even be easier, because I think Miles Morales is a much deeper character. He's a character who never really wanted to be Spider-Man at first. You know, I think there's a lot more shades of gray to him. You know, I think we're all tired of Peter Parker at this point. I think we've all seen the Peter Parker origin story so many times at this point that to do it again people would just be sick of it.
Yeah.
I think doing Miles Morales would be a smart move on their part, and I think that you could very easily fit him into, the Civil War storyline, because in the Civil War storyline, basically Spider-Man joined Iron Man at first because, you know, Iron Man offered him all this money, all this, you know, offered him a new suit, gave him all this protection. But Spider-Man always idolized Captain America.
Yeah.
So you could very easily, you know, and then he basically switched sides. And you could very easily have something like that where you have Spider-Man kind of already established a little bit at the very beginning of the film. And then when he gets time for him to choose, have him choose Captain America. And you could have this really kind of like, almost like a father-son kind of relationship going on where Captain America serves as a mentor for Spider-Man. And we could just see a different storyline, a different angle between, you know, a young Spider-Man and this older group of heroes. And I think Miles Morales would fit into that, you know. And again, you know, the reluctance to be a hero could really fit well into the Civil War storyline very easily.
All right, and there you have it. Ray Carcillo, review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMNow.com, RayCarcillo.com. I'm going to throw a lot of stuff at everybody right now. First of all, make sure you guys check out Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Make sure you check that out. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, make sure you check that out. Great game. If you haven't played the first two, make sure you check that out because, according to Ray Carcillo, it's very good. Destiny, the House of Wolves expansion. If you're a heavy Destiny fan, definitely get it. If you're not, don't even worry about it. And definitely for the people here in the Chicago and Chicagoland area, the Nintendo World Championships, there's 750 slots available. It's on a first come, first serve basis, and the square off is May 30th at the Best Buy, 900 East Golf Road in Schaumburg. Make sure you check that out. And it's just a really good thing to have the Nintendo World Championships back. And if you make it and if you qualify, you could be going to the Nintendo World Championships next month in LA. So make sure you guys check it out. Once again, we're talking with Ray Carcillo, the review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMNow.com, RayCarcillo.com. And if you want to follow Ray on Twitter, you most certainly can. It's at Ray Carcillo. And that was a lot of stuff that I threw at you, but you can definitely check out what I just told you at SeanGreenShow.com and WGNPlus.com. Ray, thanks so much for joining us. And
thanks for having me, Sean. I really appreciate it, dude.
And we'll be back right after this.